I'm kind of a storytelling preacher, and those kids made me think about something I hadn't thought about in years, and I'd like to share it with you real quick about our son. And it has to do with faith. You know, us preachers, we talk a lot about faith. Do you have enough faith, or faith of a mustard seed? We talk a lot about it. And I want to share this with you, and it has to do with a childlike faith. And I remember my son, and what he would do is he would put this towel on like Superman. And he liked for me, in my bedroom, there's a, we call it the high boy. It's a high chest of drawers. And he would like me to put him on top of it. It was pretty high. It was like here. And he'd get on that. And what he would do is he'd get back to the corner of that thing, and he would just run. And he would jump. He'd say, "Daddy, catch me." And you know, in all my life, I hang out with preachers and talk to preachers, and a lot of times preachers talk about, have you seen any great works of faith? And I always like to tell that story when it comes up with faith, because think about the faith that little boy, like a year old or whatever he was at the time, that he had to put in me that I was going to catch him. And I want to say something this morning. That is the same faith that you and I need to put in Jesus this morning. That we can run and we can jump and have no doubt that he's going to catch us. No doubt. I mean, it's faith of a child. And as the kids were, you know, the Bible teaches us that Jesus, he mentioned about children, that if we have a childlike, that's what we have to have, is a childlike faith. Amen. Well, I'm going to read in Timothy. This will be in the third chapter, starting in the 14th verse. "But continue thou in things which thou hast learned and hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them. And that from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction, and in righteousness. That the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. I charge thee therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at his appearing and his kingdom. Preach the word, be instant in season and out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering." You know, I like that word longsuffering. I'd like to mention it. The Word of God teaches us that our Savior is very long-suffering toward man. "And exhort with all long-suffering and doctrine. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lust shall they heap to themselves teachers having itching ears. And they shall turn away their ears from the truth, and there shall be turned into fables." I'm doing a Bible study right now on Wednesday nights on this same passages of Scripture. And I'm going to preach in just a minute about Jesus, the Son of God. That we ever deviate from the fact that Jesus came into this world a man, and that he went to the cross and he died and he shed his blood for us, and that there is an atonement for our sins at the foot of the cross. You see, what they're saying in Timothy, what Paul wrote to Timothy here is there may be new doctrines that come out that teach that maybe Jesus isn't the Son of God, that maybe he was just a man. But the fact of the matter is, and I'll get into my message, that you know that he was conceived by the Holy Spirit, and that Mary did carry him for 9 months, and she bore that baby boy in that manger, and that Jesus was born a man, and that he did walk this earth preaching and teaching and to do the will of the Father. A lot of people, they ask me, Brother James, why did Jesus do it? And he did it because he loved us, and that he wanted to bestow his grace on us. You know, when Jesus was in the garden, he was praying to the Father. And he asked the Father, he said, Lord, if there's any other way, let this cup pass from me. Because Jesus was faced with the reality of the cross. But then in that same prayer, he said, Lord, not my will, but your will be done. And as y'all know, they came and got him, and Pontius Pilate took him, and that he went and he suffered the cross for us. So 2 Timothy is a great lesson. Paul was basically an older preacher. Timothy was a young preacher when he wrote this letter to him and giving him the instructions in this word. I'd like to read to you this morning in the book of John. And I want to talk about to you this morning about the incarnation of the Son of God. That's my text. That's my message. And I want to read here in John 1. The Bible says that in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. In the beginning, before time began, Christ was already in existence. Always know that Jesus was, is, and will always be. He has been with the Father and the Holy Spirit for eternity past, eternity now, and eternity future. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by him, and without him was nothing, anything, and was not anything made that was made. Colossians 1 reads this, for by him were all things created that are in heaven and that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones, dominions, principalities, powers, all these things were created by him and for him. Verse 5 reads, and the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. John implies that what it is that Christ brings to judgment those who refuse the cross. You see, because one thing the Word of God does, and this is why the book of the Holy Bible is so controversial, is that what God's Word does in this world, it shines a very bright light on a very dark world. And people are uncomfortable with it. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. He was the messenger. The same came for a witness to bear witness of the light, that all men through him might believe. He was not the light, but was sent to bear witness of that light, such as we are to bear witness of that light in our lives. That was the true light which lighteth every man that cometh into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made by him, and the world knew him not. He came unto his own, and his own received him not. But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name, which were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. Verse 14 is very important. In verse 4, let me mention that life denotes salvation and deliverance based on the atonement of Jesus' blood. In verse 9, the redemption comes from Jesus and the light is available to all men. Verse 14 reads, and the Word was made flesh. Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. Over in the book of Genesis, after the fall of man, I'll read it specifically for you. There is a mention of Jesus. As you know, in the garden, man had fell from grace. He had been tempted by the devil, and he partook of the fruit and was in rebellion against God. But the Lord said unto the serpent, because thou hast done this, thou art cursed above the cattle and every beast of the field. Upon thy belly thou shalt go, and thy dust shalt eat all the days of thy life. And verse 15 is very important. And I will put enmity between thee and the woman, and between thy seed and her seed. It shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel. What the Lord is saying in this is, as you know, Jesus is of the house of David. And he's referring to the seed, the descendants of the house of David would one day defeat Satan, is what he's saying here. And the very first time in Scripture when God the Father is mentioning Jesus, he's not mentioning, but he's, let me say what he's doing. In verse 22, in the third chapter of Genesis, the Lord said, behold the man as has become as one of us, to know good and evil, lest he put forth his hand and take also of the tree of life. You see, God the Father was speaking to Jesus and the Holy Spirit in the book of Genesis. Know that Jesus was there. He was a part of the creation with God the Father and the Holy Spirit. He has always been. It's very critical we understand that. But he became flesh and dwelt among us. In Scripture, there's probably, in the Old Testament, there are probably 7 or 8 mentions of the Messiah being born on this earth. But in Isaiah 7:14, Isaiah prophesied this. This was 750 years before the birth of Jesus. And Isaiah said, therefore the Lord himself shall give you a sign. Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and shall call his name Emmanuel, which means God with us. 750 years. And as y'all know, you go on into the New Testament, the holy angel came to Mary and advised her that she was chosen of God, and that she would conceive with the Holy Ghost, and she would bear a son. You know, I was there the night my son was born. And I guess if I could say in this world it was probably the greatest thing, you know, that ever happened to me on this earth, other than my wife and being a Christian. The joy of looking at my son, and that I was visiting with a lady in the back, and boy, she was proud to show me her grandson a while ago. We're proud of our kids. But Jesus was born in that stable that morning. But always know, and as beautiful as a baby is, and as wonderful, and it's a great moment, always know that Jesus' birth in that manger was a declaration of war. You see, Jesus came into this world to take back what was spoken of in Genesis, to defeat the devil. He came to save man. And he came into this world, and the world received him not. The Bible says, the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. When I think about that, I think about this, and I counsel with people. A lot of times, you know, people tell you things that they're going through, and you know there's a fact of life. If you haven't walked in somebody else's shoes, you don't know what they're really going through. That's just a fact. But the Bible teaches us that when Jesus came into this world, that he was tempted in all ways, but without sin. Let me say something to you. Whenever you're in the valley, whenever you've got bad news from the doctor, whenever things look hopeless, know that we have a Savior that has walked in your shoes before you. That is, to me, that gives me comfort, because I know from personal experience, I've been in a doctor's office before. I've sat in one, and I've anxiously awaited the news that he was going to give me. Fortunately for me and for my wife, I'm still here. But buddy, I've been there and done that, and I understand. And let me tell you what got me through it was Jesus. Because at night when I was worried about the results of my test, I kept that word of God to my chest, and it brought me comfort. Jesus went on to teach us, you know, that he came to save that which was lost. And also in verse 18, the Bible tells us that no man has seen God at any time. The only begotten Son, which is the bosom of the Father, he has declared him. I want to say something about that. I just recently retired from, I was the Friday night preacher at the homeless mission at Godtail for 22 years. Went there, didn't miss many Friday nights, got to preach to a lot of people and tell them about this grace that we're talking about. There was a lady there one night, her name was Shirley. And we were, you know, I was preaching, and I'm one of them kind of, you know, when they let me, I'll holler and carry on kind of preachers, you know. And Shirley jumped up during the service, and she said, "Brother James, has anybody ever seen God?" And I looked at her. She looked at me. There's about 20 people sitting there, and they all looked at me. And the Lord spoke to my heart. And he wanted me to ask Shirley a question. And the question was, "Shirley, did you get to line up over here tonight when they rang the bell and have dinner?" She said, "I sure did. We had some pinto beans and some cornbread and some pork." And it hit me like a ton. The Lord spoke to my heart and said, "Well, Shirley, you saw God tonight." Y'all see what I'm saying? You see, in a bowl of beans, in a meal that was provided for her. You see, sometimes we think that God's way out yonder on the mountaintop. Or if we go to the beach, he'll be down there at the ocean. But the fact of the matter is, she saw God in that. She was hungry. You know, they come to the mission hungry. And buddy, she got to fill up. So she saw God that night. You see, people see God in us and how we treat them and how we live our lives. You see, I've had atheists and agnostics tell me, "Well, you can't prove there's a God." I say, "Well, brother or sister, I may not scientifically or mathematically tell you there's a God, but let me tell you what I have is I have a peace that passes all understanding. I have a joy that the world did not give me, and the world can't take it away. I have hope. I have hope to be with the Lord forever and ever." You see, a lot of those atheists and those people, they just want to argue. But see, our testimony is proof that God exists. You know, so anybody that says you can just say, "Well, look at my life. My life proves God more than anything I could ever say." Another thing I want to mention before I kind of wrap it up is that Jesus, as y'all know, he was born, we've talked about, born in that manger. And he went on to do the will of the Father. He went to preach to the poor, the lost. He fed the hungry. He cast out demons. He healed the sick. He touched the lepers. And see, and he also, one of the greatest things that he did is he stopped and spoke to a Samaritan woman at a well. And as you know, in God's word, the Samaritans were exiled, not demonized, but you had nothing to do with the Samaritan. But Jesus walked by that well, and that woman, remember, she said, "You must be thirsty." And Jesus told her something, and we're talking about the Word of God. He said, "Lady, if you drink of this water, you will never thirst again." You see, when Jesus started preaching, he had went up on the mountain to pray, and he was fasting. And the Bible says that when he came off that mountain, and this is just like the devil, he went to Jesus and he tempted him. And he said, "If you're the Son of God, why don't you turn those stones into bread and eat?" And Jesus told the devil something that we need to understand today. He said, man does not live by bread alone. But he said, man lives by every word that comes out of the mouth of God. You see, what he was saying is for us to live, we have to have nutrition, we have to eat food. But for us to live in this world, we have to digest God's word. We have to meditate on this because, see, the word of God is referred to as the bread of life. And it's also referred to as, if you will, a weapon. Because we do not war against physical things. We war against principalities, powers, spiritual wickedness in high places. And the power of God's word is our weapon. You see, the Bible also teaches us this. This is very important for us to know. That heaven and earth is going to pass away. Everything that you and I can touch, taste, smell, hear, and see, we're going to lose it one day. Everything that we have is going to be gone. But he goes on to say that the Word of God will endure eternity. Let me say this to you this morning, that you can put your faith and trust in God's Word. That you can, like my mama would say, you can put your lock, stock, and barrel in this. Y'all hadn't heard that in a long time, have you? But you can trust God's Word. Isaiah also prophesied about God's Word, or spoke about God's Word. He referred to it like the grass and the flowers. You know that life, you know our life, it blooms and it's gone. But the Word of God will be forever and ever. Amen. So Jesus went on to preach. And then he was crucified. Jesus lay in that tomb for 3 days and then he rose. And I'm going to wrap it up with this. Jesus was out and about for about 30 days preaching and teaching. And he was in Galilee. And Jesus ascended into heaven. And there were eyewitnesses there. And these angels showed up and said, "Ye men of Galilee, why you stand gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus that you saw go into heaven, so shall in like manner return." The same Jesus that descended into heaven that day to go sit at the right hand of the Father to make intercession for you and I. He prays for us daily. Think about this. In the morning, Monday morning, I want you to think about that. I told you this. In the morning when your clock goes off, know this. Say this to yourself. Before that clock, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords went to the throne of God and prayed for me today. Already. So Jesus ascended into heaven. And let me reassure you that what those angels told those men of Galilee, Jesus is going to return. That day is coming. I want to thank y'all. I probably went over a little bit. This is my first time to preach in a Presbyterian church, and I'm so honored to be here. And my prayer is that everything that we do here today will bring glory and honor to the Lord, because He is worthy of all our praise and our worship this morning. Amen. 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 I've got to look at my book. Having heard the word of God, please stand and we will recite the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, the Son of the Lord, who was received by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day He rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven, sitteth on the right hand of the From thence He shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost, the Holy Catholic Church, Please remain standing as we sing hymnal 69.
Amen.
There is only one Lord and God from whom all things come, for whom we live. Let us offer our lives, our tithes, and our gifts to the Lord. The ushers would please come. Please let us pray. We give you thanks and praise, O God, for you have chosen the poverty of the world to make your people rich in faith. Help us to put our faith into practice through the offerings of our lives, giving food to the hungry, clothes to the naked, and shelter to the poor, for all the sakes of Jesus Christ our Lord, your word made flesh. Amen. Please be seated. Let us pray. Rejoicing in God's promise of new creation, let us pray to the Maker of heaven and earth, saying, God, our Savior. We pray for the church. Keep us faithful in promoting your word and sharing the good news of salvation, and carrying out the ministry of Christ, God our Savior. We pray for our communities. Pluck up the seeds of violence and break down dividing walls. Plant and build good things among us, God our Savior. We pray for the world. Grant justice to those who cry to you and do not delay in helping them. Establish your realm of peace on earth, God our Savior. We pray for the earth. May we see creation with the wondering eye of a child. Grant us true gratitude for all your gifts, God our Savior. We pray for loved ones. Let your watchful, loving eye preserve their lives from evil and all through the day and night, God our Savior. Merciful and mighty God, as you are one, make us one with you through Jesus Christ, whom you have sent to redeem us, and whose holy name we pray. Amen. Above all, we give thanks to you, O God, that nothing can separate us from your love in Christ Jesus, our Lord, who taught us to pray, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. Give us our trespasses. Please stand and turn to hymnal 468. Before you're dismissed, your prayer request and prayer list, very important. I saw those, and I can reassure you that Charlotte and I will be in prayer for these needs. Please, go proclaim the Word of God and go in peace. Amen.